Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode number 14 on June the 16th, 2018. Thanks again for listening. This was an interesting week. This past week, the Federal Reserve Bank chose to raise the Fed funds rate 25 basis points to the 1.75 or 2% target rate. So the Fed sees the economy growing at a rate of 2.4% and unemployment levels at 3.5% for 2014. So raising rates is one of the methods to slow the economy a bit and try to hedge off or offset any upcoming inflation. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the week 226 points lower, less than 1% decline on the week from week to week, and the S&P 500 index was basically unchanged relative to the level that it closed at the previous week. This upcoming week, we'll hear earnings reports from Oracle and FedEx on Tuesday. On Thursday, we'll hear from Barnes & Noble and Darden Restaurants. And then on Friday, we'll hear from CarMax and Carnival Corporation or Carnival Cruise Line as well. So relatively slow for the names that I would normally bring attention or call attention to, the names that I typically watch on the equity side. And one of the things that was fun this week is I received a call from a friend of mine who's a money manager, and he knows that I am an option trader and that I have this podcast as well. So he called me to ask for some help in creating a covered call position on some stock that his dad owns. It just so happened that stock that he was looking at is AT&T, which was approved that very day to buy Time Warner for $85 billion. So much like what typically happens in a merger situation, the price per share of the acquiring company tends to fall. So AT&T had fallen $2 per share that day, and he wanted to find a way to create a little cushion while also getting paid to sell the stock should the stock go higher. We looked at a couple of different option strategies. So at the time of the call, AT&T was trading for $32.51. And we looked at the 33 strike call in July, but it didn't have enough premium to hit my typical target of at least 5% return between the increase in the stock and the amount of money that you're capturing when you sell that call. So we moved on, and it just so happened that the 34 call, which had significantly less premium, but because of the additional stock move, the $1.50 stock move, and then that I think it was like 36 cents premium that we were going to collect, it crossed the threshold of 5%. So if he decides he wants to keep the stock, he can easily buy in the 34 call in July and sell a higher strike. Or he can even sell some out-of-the-money puts to pay for the calls with the higher strike. So once you get comfortable with options, you'll realize that you really do have the freedom to totally create the type of position that works for your specific portfolio. So it was a great call. I really loved it. And I also got a call last week from a friend of mine who runs a Texas-based hedge fund. And he had a complex strategy on that was making him money. And he was right at the price in the underlying. It was actually on crude oil. He was right at the price where he was making the most money for this option position. So we started to unravel that position. I showed him how to unravel that position and gave him a couple of other possible trades so that he could maximize profits. And he locked in some money, and I was happy. He was happy. So at the end of the day, I really do enjoy not only trading options, but walking people through different strategies. So if you have any questions or need any help trading, feel free to email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. So all of that being said, let's jump into last week's trades. So yesterday, this past Friday, was options expiration for the month of June. That means any trades that you had open for June were either in the money or exercised. And if they were in the money, they got exercised. And if they were out of the money, they were deemed completely worthless. So that's why time value is always an important component of trading options. And I wanted to point that out since it was options expiration on June the 15th. And most of the trades this week, or actually all of the trades, are going to be set for July. The July expiration is July the 20th, so roughly 5 weeks from now. The covered call strategy that we looked at last week was for Global Blood Therapeutics. So last week when we looked at this trade, Global Blood Therapeutics was trading for $46.15 per share. We looked at selling the July 50 call, collecting $7.80. And that would have created, if it was in the money, if it finished in the money, a total of a possibility, rather, of collecting 25% or making 25% return on this trade. And if you remember, I sort of put a caveat in there that something was going on for there to be that much premium in the at-the-money call. Well, there was something going on. There was an announcement this past week that one of their tests or the results of one of their recent studies was not as favorable as they had hoped. So the stock lost $6.10 on the week, finishing the week for $40.05. So you collected $7.80 in selling that option, right? The option today, if you were to buy it back in, is actually sitting at $5. So because the stock fell $6.10, that $7.80 that you collected when you sold the call actually created a buffer. So that $6.10 drop means that it leaves $1.70 of possible profit, right? So we always look at the break-even point. So $1.70 of possible profit left in this trade. The option fell $2.80. So I would look at buying in that July 50 call, paying $5 to buy it in. So you lock in the $2.80 gain. Then I would look at selling the July 40 call. So we're going to roll the strike $10 lower. That's that July call, July 40 call, right now is being bid for $8. So if you were to sell that for $8, that creates a new break-even point. It's even lower. We're looking at $32 a share because you've got that 40 call right now. And it's pretty much a nickel in the money. So selling that July 40 call for $8, you're actually going to be in this, that break-even wouldn't even be counting the $2.80 that you've locked in. So we're ultimately rolling the strike down, and we've locked in some profit, which is great. You would still have the shares of stock if you bought the stock last week for $46.15 when we looked at it. So those shares would still be sitting there. But now what you've done is you've created an even bigger threshold. You've locked in $2.80 a share, and you've collected another $8 per share. The funny thing about this is it's very similar to what a friend of mine did a couple of years back when he shorted Tesla. And even though he shorted Tesla and the market rallied against him pretty strong, he kept selling out of the money puts on the stock that was rallying. And by the time he decided to actually close his stock position, he actually locked in a significant profit. So we're looking at doing this here at this covered call strategy. We made money on the July 50 call. Let's buy that in, sell an even lower call, the at-the-money call right now, which has $8 of premium, and let's go ahead and lock in the money that we made on the July 50 call. And hey, if we get pulled out of the stock once again, it's going to be a great return for a very short trade. And if stock goes lower, guess what we're going to look at doing next week? Buying in this call and selling another lower one. So again, it's a great way to take a trade that was somewhat risky because we were doing it on a biotech, seeing the volatility in this movement, in the stock price, and still finding a way to just lock in additional money. So let's take a look at the credit spread on a much less volatile company. We looked at Kroger last week. Kroger, the grocery store chain, the stock price was $25.36. We looked at selling the July 25-24 put spread and receiving a credit of $0.36 when we sold it. And, you know, it's a $1 spread, so we know that our maximum loss then is 64 cents. Well, the stock went higher on the week, which actually benefits us. The stock closed 52 cents higher, finishing the week for $25.88. Our 25.24 put spread, however, only got 1 cent cheaper. So remember, we sold it for 36 cents. And this week, it's actually valued at 35 cents. So yay, we made a penny. But more importantly, because no one gets excited about a penny, right? We really just want to collect or keep all of that premium in our accounts. So what will happen is, if prices stay here or go higher, as they appear to be doing, over the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks till July 20th, what will happen is the time value will get dried up out of this trade. And the further we move from the 25 strike, so if we finish next week over $26, you're going to see this 25-24 put spread really decrease in value quite a bit. So as time passes, this is an out-of-the-money spread, and it's just going to continue to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And that's positive for us, because we sold it. We want this spread to finish being out of the money and worthless, so that we can keep the 36 cents premium that we collected when we sold the spread to start. Our debit spread last week was on USO, the oil ETF on the WTI crude. With stock sitting at $13.27 last week, we bought the 13.5-13 put spread, paying 26 cents. We know that this spread will ultimately, if it finishes in the money, it'll be worth 50 cents. So our goal is to collect the other 24 cents, or have this spread appreciate from 26 cents all the way to 50 cents. And we'll keep the extra 24 cents. And that's a pretty hefty return, making 24 cents on 26 cents is actually a 92% return. This week, the stock actually, or the ETF actually went lower. It finished this week down 22 cents. So it finished at $13.05. And this is great for our debit spread, because that makes it even more in the money, right? We bought a put debit spread, so we want the stock to go down, or this ETF to go down. The spread itself, however, only increased in value by one penny. So once again, a penny over the last week. However, even if stock closed right here in 4 weeks, because this is an in-the-money put spread, if stock closed right here, we'd make money, because we own the 13.5 put, which is 45 cents on the money right now. So essentially, we paid 26 cents to buy that in-the-money put, the 13.5 put. And our goal, of course, on this trade is to make 24 cents over the next 5 weeks. So stay the course in the credit spread and the debit spread. I'm staying the course, at least, because I think both of these are winners. Stock is moving in our direction, and you know, all we have to do is sit and wait just a handful of weeks to make significant returns. So let's look at this week's trades. We're going to start off with a covered call on Wells Fargo, symbol William Fred Charlie WFC, looking at selling the July 57.5 call. So stock closed on Friday for $54.98, so essentially $55. We are looking to sell that 57.5 call and collect 57 cents, or, you know, in real terms, it's $57 per option that we sell. We will either keep this premium, the premium equates to roughly 1%, or if stock does move on up the $2.5, we're looking at making a 5.62% return over the next 5 weeks. Again, this is a July 57.5 call that we're selling for 57 cents. We're taking in that money. And the hope, honestly, is that Wells Fargo will increase over the next few weeks, take us out of this stock, and we get to keep or make 5.5% roughly over a very short amount of time. The credit spread we looked at was very interesting. I find it interesting, of course, because we're looking at Darden Restaurants is one of the companies that has earnings this week. Darden and Carnival Cruise Line, I didn't mention it earlier, these were two of my first equity options that I traded back in fall of 2002 when I was a trader at the Philadelphia Stock Exchange. before going back to Chicago in March of 2003 to trade at CBOE once again. So Darden Restaurants actually is the owner of a number of large restaurant chains, including Olive Garden, Capital Grille, Yard House, Season 52, and several others. The stock finished Friday. It closed Friday at $94.10 per share, and we are looking at the July 95-97 half call spread. If we sell this call spread, we collect 80 cents per spread, or $80 per spread that we sell. This spread has a maximum value of $2.50, so our maximum loss is $1.70. So ultimately, we have a possible return of 32% on our maximum risk, and that's within my typical threshold. I normally like to look for at least 30% return on these credit spreads. And oftentimes, there's always another trade, so it'll either work out for us or we'll look at rolling the strikes. But again, 5 weeks left in this trade, so plenty of time, which means plenty of other possibilities. And finally, this week, we're looking at a debit spread on Carnival Corporation, otherwise known as Carnival Cruise Line, symbol CCL, Charlie Charlie Larry. The stock closed on Friday at $65.18. We are buying the July 62 half 65 call spread, paying $1.75 for a spread that has a maximum value of $2.50. Now, if stock stays where it is or goes higher, we'll collect the other 75 cents, which is more than 42% return on our risk capital, right? Collecting 75 cents when we only put $1.75 per share or per spread at risk. So again, this is July expiration, the July 62 half 65 call spread. All of the trades we looked at are for July, 5 weeks away, expirations on July the 20th. Those are our three spreads this week. I also wanted to mention, like, here's why I really like option spreads, right? Why I like trading spreads, even more so than the covered call strategies that I mentioned. So you can fully control your risk and reward scenarios without having to risk a ton of capital when you trade option spreads. So that credit spread that I mentioned on Darden Restaurants is a perfect example. For each spread, you'll be paid 80 cents. That's each spread that you sell. And your brokerage is only gonna tie up $250 per spread. So that 80 cents is, in real terms, it's 80 cents per share on 100 shares. So for every spread that you sell, you're collecting $80. Your brokerage ties up $250, so you can actually put on multiple spreads if you like, depending on your own level of risk. Now, if you bought 100 shares of the stock, most people like to buy the stock and hold it, hope that it goes higher, right? If you bought 100 shares of that stock, you would risk $9,410 because it's trading for $94.10, so you would risk $9,410 to own the stock. You're risking, with the trade that I mentioned, $250, or you can put on multiple spreads. Even if you put on 10 spreads, right, you still would only have $2,500 at risk, whereas just 100 shares of this stock that you're putting on at $9,410 of your capital tied up, which means that you're limited on how much you can actually put on. The debit spread, the Carnival Cruise debit spread that I just mentioned, will cost you $175 per spread in real dollars. That's the most you're risking. That's the most you could ever lose. And you're buying an in-the-money spread, knowing that if prices sit right here or move a little higher, as long as they finish higher, then you collect $75 in 5 weeks. That's $75 you make on $175 of capital. That's tough to beat, right? And the beauty of it is, even though you've got that much possible return, your maximum loss is $175. So I'm going to be talking a lot more. I've realized that several people that listen to this podcast may not understand options. So definitely go to my YouTube channel, The Weekly Option. You will find in there a series of six videos. It's called the 5 and 5 training series. And I actually broke down each of the trades that I look at each week. It's 5 videos, actually it was 6 because I made an introduction video, but 5 videos recorded over 5 days, roughly 5 minutes apiece. I think on two of them I went into 6 minutes. But take a look. I mean, you will learn enough to be able to follow along with this podcast and actually use some of this information in your own account. So that's it for this week's show. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. Take a look at our podcast channel and subscribe, or, you know, listen to us on YouTube. All of the links are available on our website, theweeklyoption.com. Thank you very much. We look forward to hearing from you next week. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.